भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 57 टेक्स्ट 32। देवे अवर्षति काशीशः श्वफल्काय आगताय वै स्वसुतां गान्धिनीं प्रादात् ततः अवर्षत् स्म काशिषु। देवे वर्षति काशीशः, देवे वर्षति काशीशः श्वफल्कायागताय वै, श्वफल्कायागताय वै स्वसुतां गान्धिनीं प्रादात्, स्वसुतां गान्धिनीं प्रादात् ततो वर्षत् स्म काशिषु, ततो वर्षत् स्म काशिषु। देवे वर्षति काशीशः श्वफल्कायागताय वै, स्वसुतां गान्धिनीं प्रादात् ततो वर्षत् स्म काशिषु। देवे वर्षति काशीशः श्वफल्कायागताय वै, स्वसुतां गान्धिनीं प्रादात् ततो वर्षत् स्म काशिषु। वर्षति काशीशा श्वफल्कायागताय वै, स्वसुतां गान्धिनीं प्रादात् ततो सस्वस्म काशिषु। माताजी, देवे वर्षति काशीशा श्वफल्कायागताय वै, स्वसुतां गान्धिनीं प्रादात् ततो वर्षत् स्म काशिषु। देवे वर्षति काशीशः
सफलकायागताय वै स्वशुकं गान्धिनीं प्रादात् ततो वर्षत् स्मका शिशु
देवे वेन् द डेमिगॉड लॉर्ड इंद्र अवर्षति हैड नॉट बीन सप्लाइंग रेन काशीशः द किंग ऑफ बेनारस शफलकाय टू शफलका अक्रूरस फादर आगताय हु हैड कम वै सर्टनली स्व हिज ओन सुताम डॉटर गांधीनिम गांधीनी प्रादात गेव ततः देन अवर्षत इट रेन्ड स्म इंडीड काशिशु इन द किंगडम ऑफ काशी Translation and purport by the disciples of Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The elders said, previously when Lord Indra had withheld rain from Kashi, Banaras, the king of that city gave his daughter Gandini to Shafalka, who was then visiting him. It soon rained in the kingdom of Kashi. Purport. Shafalka was Akrura's father. And the citizens felt that the son must have the same power as the father. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti points out that because of Akrura's relationship with his maternal grandfather, the king of Kashi, in a time of difficulty, Akrura went to that city.
Vandeyam Sri Guru श्रीजुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावदूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं पदाति स्वपदान्तिकं नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
दिस चैप्टर Satrajit murdered, the jewel returned, is a bit unusual in the sense that it has this kind of conspiracy to take a jewel Prasenajit was the one Prasena lost his life. He was the brother of Satrajit. Shatadhanva murdered Satrajit. Satrajit lost his life. Krishna and Balaram then killed Shatadhanva. So, this reads like a typical episode in which, for the sake of a jewel, one after another people are losing their lives. Sridhar Maharaj, in his commentary on this part of the 10th canto, he says that this particular episode deals with the artha. There are four purusharthas: dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So this particularly deals with the artha part. So that will be the focus of our discussion today. In a verse of the Bhagavatam, the Vedas are described as Setu. They are a bridge. When we mention a bridge, it normally comes to pass that the bridge is joining two parts of either land or mainly land. We have nowadays in Mumbai we have two high-rise buildings and there is a bridge kind of a structure, a walkway. So the Vedas are described as a setu, a bridge, joining material and spiritual worlds. Of course, in our normal sense of understanding, a bridge is two-way traffic. You can go from this part, like the Bandra Sea Link, you can go from either part. But the Vedas are not meant for living entities from the spiritual world to come down here. No. Because when living entities fall, that's called patan, that's called patitya, that's called a fall. And we have acharyas explaining in very, sometimes very simple terms. Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially is one very expert acharya in capturing the essence of Vedic wisdom. Anadi karma phale podi bhavarnava jale tari bare na dekhi upa. Oh my Lord, my karma, what exactly caused my fall? I don't know. Anadi. Now, anadi doesn't mean it has no beginning absolutely. I cannot find out. Sometimes, even devotees get into that philosophical urge to find out exactly what caused my fall here. What was that thought which brought me down? Once Radhanath Maharaj compared this to trying to find out which exact mosquito has given me this malaria. First of all, you are shivering, you have headache, loss of appetite, you are debilitated. Now in that sickening condition, would you go after a mosquito with a torch, with a flashlight, checking out which particular mosquito? And how will you find him? They all look the same. I mean, they must be having some mechanism of distinguishing between each other, but at least to us they look all the same. Who knows, for them we also maybe all look like the same. It's all relative, you know. So it's that difficult. And it is especially difficult if you are already conditioned, and in a conditioned state you want to understand what made me conditioned. Because the first prerequisite for getting that knowledge is liberation. So generally the scriptures are not very vocal, very silent. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, after Prabhupada's departure, devotees had gone to him and they tried to ask Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave simplistic answers which they thought, oh, it's too simple. Sometimes we get that feeling when we read Prabhupada's book. Oh, it's too simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and that you are self-realized. So he had, in a way, admonished them, why do you want to learn everything so quickly? There is a lot of other things to do. You have to work on your sadhana. There is kama to be conquered, krodha to be conquered, lobha, madha, moha, matsa. There is a lot of homework. So it's like you have a lot of homework and you're asking, so when the school leaving party, what could be the celebrations and how will you eat, what are the items? First of all, you get your school leaving certificate. So patan or fall is from the spiritual world. Now let's see another example. I don't know if anybody has seen such a big piece of gold, but let us imagine a huge 5-6 kilogram nugget of gold. And as you know, gold can be broken, gold is ductile, it's malleable, you can make sheets, you can make wires. Gold has these good qualities. So if you make a thin wire from melting that big piece of gold, and you make very tiny parts, very, very tiny. So this big piece could be valued at crores, 5 kilos, quite a tidy sum. But if you make that into a wire and it's very small, maybe 1 millimeter parts, one part could be 50 rupees, 100 rupees, who knows. But is that part, just because it is very small, does it become iron? Does it become worthless? Just because it is tiny? No. It is so tiny that somebody who has that piece may, I don't miss it, even if it falls away, no problem. You may say like that, but constitutionally, it always remains gold. So I'm trying to build up this premise that even if the jiva has fallen from spiritual world, he remains spiritual. Here you and me, we are all like that. Millions and billions and trillions of years of association with the modes of nature, they don't change our constitutional position. Like some prisoners, they feel that life is actually comfortable in a prison. I mean, there are some problems, give and take, but if you are intelligent enough, it's much better. Now, why does prison make sense? Because if you are unemployed or you are threatened, then when you go out, you need to find a job. And actually in America during the Great Depression, I mean, because people wrote books about that, we know. But even in India, even in a third world country, it could be a profitable thing for somebody that better stay in a prison. At least you don't have to pay rent. Your food is assured. There is some bit of work. And you don't need to pay for the electricity. You don't need to pay for water. Nothing. They even give you 2 sets of clothes every year. Some prisons, they make you part of a bargain where you can earn something while living in the prison. So now you please try to understand what do you mean by conditioning. We actually look for better prospects while being a prisoner. That if I continue this with this record of good behavior, in 2 years' time, they could give me the charge of the library. They could make me a gardener. And actually I could go to a better cell. They have shown me that there are some other rooms available which have light, which have a fan. So this is how that deep conditioning sets in, and you actually start feeling that the goal of my life is to improve my prospects in this prison over here. And at that time, suppose somebody comes on behalf of the president or the king, whatever, and says that next month we will have a lucky draw and 10 prisoners will be let free. And the lucky draw comes and this particular person's name is there. He says, can you have somebody else go? I'm kind of comfortable here. I have no problems. This is that ignorance. That you feel that all my life I have lived here. All my friends are here. If I go back in the big bad world outside, I'll have to start, my God, work again. But if the person says, what about freedom? The basic human quality, freedom, we need freedom. So I can adjust with that. I don't need. Here they take away my freedom, but they treat me properly, no problem. So, as to why Krishna has to say in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Take thousands and thousands of people, hardly one may yatati to perform some endeavor. That's the exact meaning of the word yatati. And Krishna doesn't stop there. That's only half. And yatatam api siddhanam. Those out of thousands and thousands, one. And thousands of those who have tried for perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschit mam vetti tatvatah. They may know me as, oh, he's a son of Vasudev, oh, he's tricky, oh, he's a cheater, or he dances, or he does this. But what Krishna is hinting at is, kaschit mam vetti tatvatah. Do you know me actually? In fact, right now people say, we can't understand this Krishna personality. And they write thick, fat books on that. Somebody was mentioning a old BTG advertisement on the back of the magazine. They had given the most prominent questions posed by Western philosophers. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Schopenhauer and all this company. Who am I? Why am I here? Why do bad things happen to good people? Typical questions. So it says, these people, there's only 5-6 people, they had the brains to ask the right questions. That means majority don't even know how to ask the right question. But these are called philosophers because actually at least they ask the right question. And below that was Prabhupada's picture and said, and this man knows the answers. So, in Kali Yuga, even if you ask the proper question, you are considered greatly wise. Or sometimes you are seen as irritating. Why you keep on asking about God? Why you keep on asking what happens after death? Nobody knows what happens after death, okay? In fact, today, scientists, they have this kind of a tune when they sing all the time. There is no absolute truth. And Devamrita Swami Maharaj pointed out that this is an absolute statement. When we say Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, they say no, he can't be, because there is no absolute truth. What is the meaning of no absolute truth? That means we have checked each and every truth ourselves and we have come to the conclusion there is no absolute truth. But that's not possible. So anyway, we will come to our original point that the Vedas are a setu, a bridge. The living entities are part of Krishna. Like Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. We sing in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is Sat, eternal, Chit, fully cognizant, and Ananda. So he is gold, and that part of gold also has to be gold. Please remember that. So similarly, Krishna is Satchidananda. What else can his part be? Same. You have to be Satchidananda. But then in this material atmosphere, we exhibit not like part Satchidananda or 60% Satchidananda. Exactly opposite qualities. Asat, Achit, Nirananda. What is Asat? This whole material world is Asat. What is Achit? This entire material world is Achit. We discuss these things, but when Prabhupada gives examples, they hit us with such force. Prabhupada says, let a fully equipped, in those days I think the Boeing 737 was launched. Now they have come to 757 or whatever. But 737 was the latest in luxury flying, comfortably flying, latest in aviation technology. And Prabhupada asked his disciples, in 300 years, will this aeroplane be impatient and say, nobody is flying me, I am going to fly now? No. It is inert. It doesn't have any knowledge of its own. You may say, everything is there. Everything is there. The automated systems, there is fuel in it, the tires have the right air pressure, the seats are comfortable, the food is stocked. All you need is to press the button. But he says, for that you need a spirit soul. You can't have a dead pilot sitting there. The dead pilot is as good as the furniture or the aluminium or the plastic parts, because his body is also made of the same elements. A spirit soul has to press. So Prabhupada says, if a small aeroplane cannot take off, if a computer cannot start itself, but you see this last 200 years, this kind of thing has gripped our minds. What if machines take over? What if machines start to think? In fact, the programmers, chess programmers, they put so much of programming configuration in a machine, and that computer defeated the world champion once. And they said, my God, we thought that Garry Kasparov is the world champion and nobody can defeat him. But yesterday, the computer defeated him. So then one person said, well, he didn't actually defeat him. The computer cannot think. It only has whatever information as being fed by its programmers.
It can choose out. It can choose very fast. You and me cannot maybe choose that fast, but the computer can choose. But the computer didn't, after it defeated Kasparov, it didn't say, "Ah, I have won." There are no emotions. Like if we had our drama festival and we had our actors, our devotees. Now if you have a competition as to who acted, who brought out the emotions, like we have the blind Dhritarashtra, and he is expressing his inability, why he did, and we have Gandhari in that beautiful drama. But if you trust a video camera which has seen everything, sometimes the camera has seen much more than what the human eye has seen. But if you ask the camera, who performed well?
Camera says, "Well, I..."
No answer. If you want, everything is here, but you don't give me any judgment question. I can't judge.
So, it will never happen that machines can control life or machines can think.
Machines can have data, information, but they can't think for us. Oh, one thing can happen. Our lives can be mechanistic. We can behave in a mechanistic way. We may forget our human element. That's what's happening. Like when you ask somebody, why you kill animals? So, they don't have life. This is machines taking over. You thinking like a machine. So, this setu is to be utilized for going from this material world, and it takes a lot of effort. Mind you, it is not an easy task at all. So how to drive the desires, emotions, determination, goal, objective, so many things are involved. How to make the jiva turn his direction? It's like the Upanishad example, two birds sitting on a branch of the same tree, and one bird is only interested, oh, a new fruit has come, oh, a new flower has come, and he's saying, I'll try that. Psh, phew, it is bitter like anything. I'll try this one. Kind of mixed. Oh, this one was so ripe. Oh my God. I just wish that life could be like this every day. I just get a new sweet fruit. These fruits are the fruits of the modes of material nature. Just for example, if you taste a very sweet fruit, what happens? You feel the next one also has to be sweet. You feel attached. I hope the next one is sweet. Please, Lord, the next one has to be sweet. But you see somebody else crying, and you know that it may not be. So you say, okay, at least till I get my sweet fruits, I'll enjoy. The next one is mixed. Bit sour. And you say, not that good. The fourth one is so bitter, you actually spit it out. And you have an aversion. But what has happened is, the living entity is firmly caught in the grip of material nature. These two big emotions, attraction and aversion. So when there is attraction, there is a intense longing for another one. Oh, I got another one. Maybe another one. Maybe one, just one more. It simply goes on expanding. When there is a bitter fruit, there is aversion. Oh no, not again. There is another bitter one. Oh no, not again. So somebody who is enjoying material fruits, zero Vedic knowledge. Somebody is being bitter by getting bitter experiences. Amazingly, the result is the same, zero Vedic knowledge. So we have this feeling that if somebody is very happy,
it's easy to become a devotee. No, sir. There is no formula. You could be very happy materially, you could be very sad materially. Total material happiness, and you may say, now I am ready to take the jump. Doesn't happen like that. Or somebody says, I have experienced all material miseries in these 14 worlds. Now I am ready for spiritual life. No. This happiness and this misery has nothing to do with Vedic knowledge. It's a whole different process. So, you might have heard, those who read Prabhupada's books, this term, Purushartha. Here, Purusha is a word used intermittently. It denotes the living entity sometimes. It also denotes Krishna sometimes. But there is a different connotation. The inner meaning is very different. Purishayanam. This body is called Navadwara Pur. It's a city of nine gates. So the one who is lying within this, his own city, is a Purusha, the living entity. But there is also, Krishna also is called Purusha, the supreme enjoyer. And this is where today, all the Mayavadis and all the Nirvisheshwadis, they have everything mixed up. When it comes to the living entity, they think it's the Lord. I'll give an example. There are slokas which say that this Purusha is also the Atma. He is spread everywhere. They say, oh, that means I am spread everywhere. This Purusha has to perform pious activities. So they feel, oh, that means Krishna and Ram also have to do these pious activities. If you tell them, No, you have to perform these duties because you have to get liberated. They are already liberated. This they can't understand. If I am conditioned, then Ram and Krishna are also conditioned. We say no. Everything what they do is Leela. Then what I do also is Leela. You mean to say you are taking birth is a Leela? You're getting old is a Leela. You're getting diseased. Is that your Leela? That I'm getting diseased? It's no laughing matter. Prabhupada laughed at it. But every now and then we have some guru has passed away in his ashram and the disciples are saying he's in samadhi. He will wake up soon. He has done this many times. Now the government health inspectors are saying it is stinking. His body, there is a stench. It's a dead body. They say, no, he's in samadhi. He can never die. So, proper knowledge is required. And therefore, these purusharthas are four. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You must have heard these terms many times. Here, dharma is duty. Artha, we are discussing artha, that's why this thing has come up. Artha has many meanings, purpose, essence, value, cost. So many ways in which we can understand artha. Kama is fulfilling your desires. Right now, let's take material desires only. Later we can add spiritual desires also. And moksha is that liberating thing from matter. So dharma is do your duty. Cats, dogs, they don't have any duty. Animals, plants, insects, they are all exempt from dharma. But in human form of life, you are told that no, now you have done enough other things. Now you go and inquire what is your dharma. And you see how Arjuna asked the same question. Second chapter. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhavaha. He says, Karpanya, miserliness. What's a miser? He has resources but he won't use it. So you have the human form of life but you are not using it properly.
You have a diamond and you are using it as a paperweight. Let me say, no, it keeps my paper from flying away. That's a use. No, nobody doubts that. But is that the value of a diamond? It can be used for so many other things. It is valued in crores. You can buy billion paperweights with this one paperweight. So the happinesses and the, like we say, oh, I want to soar the skies like a bird. I want to just flit over flowers like a butterfly. All these things can be done, provided you are liberated. Because these guys might be doing that, but they don't know that they are enjoying. Do you know that birds don't feel that they are enjoying? While they are up there, they are saying, oh, when do I get somewhere? But then, the moment some man comes, birds always feel that the human beings may take away their grains or... because material nature has given all these other forms of life one overwhelming sensation. Can anybody guess? Fear. Fear. It's always there. They say that it's an early bird which gets the worm. You might have heard this saying. That means the bird which rises early and tries to go, only that kind of bird can get its food. So one person quipped, what about the worm's point of view? It's the early worm which gets the bird. If a worm goes out of its hole early, he is the one to be picked up by the bird. So it's like bad luck. So what exactly is bad luck? It's so relative, it is so subjective. It's said that one Akbar once, he had a big cut, and he called for Birbal and said, Birbal, is it true that some people are actually bad luck? So, what do you mean? Why you ask? Today morning, I saw the dhobi, the palace dhobi. And I could sense that things are not quite well. Because after that, I called my barber and he cut me royally, royal cut. It bled and I'm feeling very miserable. I'm feeling that as the day wears on, it could be more and more bad luck. So, hang him. So Birbal was saying, what do you mean? Hang that dhobi. Because tomorrow also if I see him, it will be more bad luck. So Birbal said, we can hang him for sure, no problem. You are the king, there will be no inquiry commissions and no other problems. What exactly was the situation? He said, well, I usually get up my early morning time. I was in my balcony and I saw him in the courtyard. Was there anybody else? He said, no. Okay, tell me one thing. Did you see him first or he saw you first? So he said, well, when I was looking at him, he was already looking at me. So he said, oh, which means he was seeing you first. So Birbal said, so what? I mean, Akbar said, so what? Well, I just have a point that you saw him and you got a cut. And he saw you and now he's going to lose his life. He said, no, don't hang him. He came to know that if he's little bit bad luck for me, I am such a big bad luck for this guy. So, who wants to be seen as somebody who brings bad luck? So, it's all relative. But, because the living entity has come from spiritual atmosphere with these hopes of enjoyment, that's one thing which can never leave. This is one thing we can never give up. The Bhagavatam describes, even in hell, the living entity seeks fun, seeks enjoyment. And Prabhupada used to drive this point again and again and again. He told the hippies, you gave up proper eating. They came from middle class and middle and higher middle class families. You gave up sleeping. You gave up defending. You gave up your titles. You gave up your career. you settle for life like your American dogs who could be lying in the street, but you can't give up sex life. In fact, the hippies were all for no war, make peace, make love, no war. So they were not eager to fight, they were not eager to work, they didn't want new cars, they didn't want bigger houses. Everything what corporate America could offer them in the 60s, they had turned their back. But Prabhupada said, but Maya is so smart. She says, okay, even if you give three of the major things, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, even if you give up three, this one thing is powerful enough to bring you back and then beg for all three again. They are all linked. So therefore, the first thing, dharma, teaches the living entity, inquire about your duty. Dharma is not just some label, some flag or some organization. No. Inquire, what am I supposed to do? Your dharma should be the real you. I read a very nice statement. Eat your dharma. That means dharma should be your diet. And wear your artha. Your artha should be your clothes. Unfortunately, the opposite is happening today. We are eating our artha and wearing our dharma. Dharma is like a thin, flimsy covering over our actual body. Oh, this man is very intelligent. Why? Oh, he has lots of money. Obviously, he has to be somebody, at least. Why should I have so much money? Now, there is some iota of truth in it. The discussion was with BBT people about one... Prabhupada liked dioramas. That's why we have them here. But then Prabhupada wanted so really high-tech dioramas. So, FATE, First American Theistic Exhibition. It cost $40,000. Early 70s. And Prabhupada had given this money from the BBT fund. So he said, no, let's make it big. It had... from today's point of view, it may not be so high-tech. But that time, changing bodies, the soul seen from going from one body to another with sound effects. Now imagine, Time magazine said, we will cover this. Somebody from Time magazine came, he said, okay, we will cover this. That was the impact this thing had, it was in Detroit. So then, in that discussion, you can read it in the folio, Prabhupada brought up this point. If somebody asks, do you have intelligence? So he told a Bengali story. A man was asked, are you intelligent? So he was like... So the other man said, why are you looking in your pocket? He said, oh, I'm just checking if I have money. If I have money, I am intelligent. If I have money, I am intelligent. Prabhupada seemed to concur with that. And it is true. Then Prabhupada quoted his own Guru Maharaj. If you are a beggar, nobody will come to hear you. And I think we all can understand. Not that this is like a royal palace. This is like an old rundown building. But for the pleasure of Radha Gopinath, this is no less than Dwarka's palace. You have marble, teak wood, chandeliers. Everything is clean. All this is just to make us understand that because this place is for Radha and Krishna, so somebody comes in and he sees, simplest example, in our morning class, if somebody comes and starts talking, everybody says, shh. Now, typical Hindus, when you go to a temple, nobody is expected to stop you doing anything, isn't it? You can tan, ring the bell, or you can say, ah, you can jump, or do whatever. Hey, because Hinduism is a way of life, it's no religion. But when they come to a Hare Krishna temple, they say, very strict fellows, you know. Like a simple thing, we have an usher standing at the doorway. Somebody comes and he says, okay, sit. And this is what Prabhupada has, that this is this discipline. That this particular part
of our morning time. Maybe for some of you it could be the weekly class. Some of you come regularly here. Those of us who stay here, it's our everyday class. That sense of duty. This verse, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, see Prabhupada's translation. Attendance in Bhagavatam class every day. What is the meaning of Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya? Otherwise, Nityam means people say, oh, like typical Indians when we say, do you chant? I chant every hour. I mean, the only thing I am doing is chanting. We were doing some Janmashtami collection many years ago. And this was a Sardarji. He has a shop. So he got a phone call. And somebody else at the other end said, how are you doing? He said, just Bhagwan ka naam leke ji rahe. I was saying, really? Are you sure? So these statements are floated like popcorn every day, now and then, that Bhagwan ka naam leke ji rahe. If Haridas Thakur says that, then it means something. And that same Haridas Thakur, that Namacharya Haridas Thakur, when he couldn't chant his quota of 192 rounds, he says, my body is fit but my mind is diseased. I could not finish my daily quota. And immediately Prabhupada is carefully writing his purport saying that if you cannot fulfill your daily quota, then you are to be understood in a diseased state of mind. Whatever your quota could be, 2, 4, 6, 8, whatever, no problem. But, so taking Krishna consciousness as a duty is the first foundation. Artha comes next. Now comes the big question. If I give my life to Krishna, haven't you been asked like that? You are so young. In fact, when I was 23, my boss at that time said, ये तो तुम्हारा पाप करने का टाइम है. This is your time to sin, man. I said, what do you mean? पूरा बुढ़ापा पड़ा है पुण्य करने के लिए. You have your whole old age. And imagine sometimes when Indians are forceful, your entire old age you can perform pious activities, man. Do you realize that? Now as I am nearing 50, I'll be lying if I say I am middle-aged. I am actually touching old age. I mean, no doubts about that. So now if I sit for a class, I say, okay, I need to sit on a chair, or if I walk, no, I can't walk so much, especially with food. Just yesterday, one of my close relatives was saying that, how come you are nowadays saying, can't eat this, can't eat that, and now it's morning time, I'll only eat this. Previously, you were not like that. I said, previously, I was never approaching 50. Times have changed. So, of course, Bhagavatam assures me, this is the first time I am getting old. In fact, the Vedas assure, you have experienced this old age billions of times. But why is it hitting me with such force? Because now for the first time, I am experiencing old age with Vedic wisdom. And if possible, Prabhupada says, try to make it the last old age. Then you are successful. The last time you are diseased, and the last time you will die. At the same time, our devotees have, Vaishnavas have this sentiment, that I don't hope to be liberated in crores of births. That's good. That's part of our Vaishnava culture. Because subsequently, whatever we get as birth, old age, this is death, at least will not be part of our karma. As service, kita janma hao yatha tuvadas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I don't mind getting any kind of birth. Whether it is birth of a kita and worm, no problem. But, bhakta grihe janma hao eyash.
At least it should be in the home of a devotee. Bahirmukha Brahma nahi abhilash. But a non-devotee Brahma's lifetime, surely not. So artha, who will provide? Now I have some examples. I'm sure most of you would say that, hey Prabhu, when was the last time you worked for somebody? So I can assure you it was 25 years ago. So you say, how come you have this experience of teaching us? Well, this wisdom is from the Shastra. See if it can be used. Let's begin with a shocker. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat. Lord Chaitanya once saw Nityanand Prabhu. Nityanand Prabhu in Shivas's home would behave like any which way. He would be like a baby and he would sit on Malini's lap. Malini is Shivas's good wife. And he would say, feed me. So others would see and would get confused. And feed in a sense, he would insist that like a small baby, you cannot eat. So one day, Lord Chaitanya decided to poke some ribs of Srivas. He said, hey Srivas, this fellow, I mean, he's good and everything, but do you know his caste, creed, his birth, everything is unknown. So be careful, you might lose your status in society. Srivas immediately could understand that Mahaprabhu is making fun. Now what he said is like Utkarshanyay, don't take it literally. Utkarshanyay, you make any kind of statement, you make the limit of understanding. That's Utkarshanyay. He said, even if I see Nityanand Prabhu with a wine pot in his hand, or if I see him entering some lane where there are prostitutes, he may do anything, he is still my Nityananda Rai. And Mahaprabhu said, hats off, I have never seen anything like this. Srivas, I was just testing your faith. I assure you, even if Lakshmi has to beg, this is another question. Even if Lakshmi herself has to beg door to door, you will never have any poverty. I said, no, what to speak of you? The dogs and cats in your household will also never experience poverty. So, many times we have these kind of things in Shastra. Shivas was once asked that, Mahaprabhu asked him, I never seen you work. I mean, all night you are chanting, all morning you are performing puja, all afternoon you are taking your bath, evening again puja, again kirtan. When do you work? So Srivas just said, Srivas, I asked a question. What is the meaning of clapping three times? He said, I have this firm understanding that if I clap three times and the things necessary for my household work daily, grains, beans and fruits, flour, vegetables, whatever, they are not available, I'll drown myself in the Ganga. And Mahaprabhu assured, no, you don't worry. Now I know for many of us, this kind of assurance is like maybe the goal of our joining the Hare Krishna movement. So this is one extreme. Let us begin with the foundational premise. Economic development. Artha. Usually, Prabhupada is like hammer and tongs against this term. He says, what nonsense is economic development? I can assure you, I was a student of economics, my favorite subject. And even after joining Hare Krishna, I could sometimes go see some books. Now with the net, you can always read something about economics. But of course, everything is a mess. Everybody understands that world economy is going down. But when I heard Prabhupada saying, economic development is nonsense. First time I thought, Prabhupada, you were a chemist in your grihastha life, then you became a founder acharya, so economics is not your subject. I mean,
Jai Shri Prabhupada, you are our founder Acharya, I will obey everything, but I don't really agree, I'm sorry, I don't really agree with you. It can't be nonsense. The second time I read, the third time I read, with conversations, some purports, and one day, when some simple thing hit me, Prabhupada said, if you understand every living entity to be the part and parcel, the genuine part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and who is He? Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Not just one Lakshmi. In India we only have one Lakshmi. She is standing on a lotus flower and all this State Bank of India gold coins are coming out of her palm. And almost ask the share bazaar people on Murat Day, they are all like this, Devi, never leave my home, never leave my office, never leave my pocket, never leave my bank account, never ever leave me. It's one, just one Lakshmi, and everybody is after her. And what is Brahma saying? And millions of Lakshmis are after Krishna. And they don't have a chance to serve. That's another wonder. It's not like Krishna is like, oh, so many Lakshmis, happy, happy. No! These Lakshmis, these Vaikuntha queens, they are wondering, somebody just takes actual statements from Bhagavatam. They take some broom and they try to clean the Vaikuntha palace and there is no dust anywhere. So why are you brooming? So just want some chance to serve Narayan, that's all. The act of service gives me so much bliss that I don't care whether there is a need or not. So Sambrahma is a very important word. They are like begging, please give us some service, please give us some service. And rarely somebody gets some service. Why? Because Krishna is Atmaram. So, using the same logic, a bona fide part and parcel of that unlimitedly rich, the emphasis on the word rich. If you say Krishna is very strong, he is wise, right now we are not interested in what he is otherwise. We are only interested whether he has money or not. So yes, Krishna has. Not lots of it, unlimitedly lots of it. So a son of such a father, he comes to this material world. And if you ask him, what's the goal of your life? He says, to be economically developed. Prabhupada says, what a travesty. I mean, what a farce this is. In today's terms, if somebody from the Ambani family, and he joins the unemployment bureau and says that, can I get some job, clerical, you know, airport, lift some luggage or do this or do that, 8,000 rupees, I'm saying because I see these ads every day in the train compartment, 8,000 rupees, khana free. Now if you know, hey, you belong to that family, right? So why are you standing in this line? Says, well, I thought, what if my family doesn't give me money, then what am I supposed to do? Now, don't get me wrong, I know what many of you I have made your brains go whirring, that you mean to say, I need not work, because I am part of Krishna, I am chanting 16 rounds every day, wait, we still have 5 more minutes to solve all those queries. First thing is, I am a bona fide part and parcel of Krishna, so I don't need to have economic development as the goal of my life. But, I need to work. You may say, I realize this fellow is wily. Has to be some catch somewhere. What do you mean I am supposed to work and I don't need to have economic development as the goal of my life? Simple. The war was Arjuna's business. The battle of Kurukshetra is Arjuna's business. Krishna has nothing to gain, nothing to lose. So, talking to the hippie crowd, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna didn't tell Arjun that, Arjun, I am God, I control the modes of nature, I do everything, I am the doer. So, okay, do it. If you say so well that you are the doer. So he says the philosophy is not like, I will do all the work and you sit on this chariot and smoke ganja. Now, for you this is not the reference point, but it really made a reference point for the hippies sitting. No, you have to work. Why? Because when I claim economic development as a goal of my life, I am acting like a competitor. I am joining the ranks of Ravana, Jarasandha, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha. Gold eyes. His vision firmly fixed on gold. And his elder brother, the great Hiranyakashipu. Gold and soft bed for enjoying. So gold is always there in the Asuras' vision. Prabhupada says, modern day Asuras, the philosopher Asuras, Mayavadis, oh, this whole world is nonsense, the whole world is zero, zero. So Prabhupada says, if it is zero, why are you so expert at enjoying zeros? You say it is all nonsense, but you make big plans to enjoy this nonsense. So, we are not competitors. We are cooperators. Both words begin with the same co. If you compete, then economic development like sits on your neck, like it's tied around your neck like a millstone. But if you cooperate, then one thing is assured, nobody is a loser. See, these are simple examples, but when you read Prabhupada's conversation, like Prabhupada says, a small family, the parents won't neglect their children. Why should Krishna neglect anyone? Does he get any satisfaction? Like sometimes I at least had this doubt that bhakti means deny yourself. Then you'll be happy. No. Get and be happy, and deny happy. Both are actually two sides of the same coin. Cooperate means you understand your position. This dharma artha. Here artha means who am I? One of Arjuna's names is Dhananjay. Dhan. Dhan for what? Rajasya sacrifice needs lot of wealth. So Yudhishthira Maharaj requested, Arjuna got it. So two simple examples. A fruit seller, a fruit vendor, looking by her description, there are only two or three verses. It seems she was like a tribal lady, Vrindavan forest, Vrindavan town, Braj during Lord Krishna's times, had lots of forest area, and they pick fruits, guavas, chikus, whatever. So she came. Baby Krishna, just a toddler, could hardly walk properly, but has seen Yashoda Mai doing some kind of barter business. So he goes in the granary, grain storage, tries to pick some grains with both his palms, and as he is stumbling and as he is walking, and he passes through all the many rooms, comes out, comes down the stairs, is in the courtyard, and by the time this fruit seller lady sees Krishna, she knows that he is bringing something, and he opens his palm and there is practically nothing. But she understands, this boy wants to give me grains and wants to take some fruit in exchange. So she, out of, the acharyas don't explain what exactly was her emotion, but seeing Krishna's beauty, she offered him something out of love. So Krishna took those fruits, went back home. She looked at her basket. It was filled with jewels. You may say, oh, I never realized that. Today itself I am going to get a big basket of fruits, offer it to Gopinath here, and then wait whether the jewels come. Well, probably they won't come, because we are imitating. She didn't imitate anybody else previously. One point to understand is, whenever miracles occur, if done out of imitation spirit, you will never get the fruit. But if discipline is imitated, Like people ask, why you count when you chant? Why you chant all the time? You may say, what are we supposed to do? Sankhya purvaka naam gana nati bhi. Our Goswamis did that. Not only did they count the number of rounds, they counted the number of time, the number of obeisances they offered to others. At least I don't find people with clickers. But Raghunath Das Goswami used to do 2000 obeisances. Somebody said there were not so many Vaishnavas during that time. Well, he would remember them and offer them. So it's not necessary that you may say, the place where I am, we don't have so many Vaishnavas. You remember all of them. So this Sankhya Purvak thing, this imitation is because our Acharyas insist. This is called Anusaran. Anukaran means imitation. So this lady, look at her Artha Prapti. Fabulous wealth. Krishna and Balaram come to Mathura and one Sudama, different Sudama, is a flower seller. So he makes garlands and offers them garlands. And Krishna says, first of all, your next life you are liberated for sure. No more Bhavasagar. You'll be very happy. He promises him, you will get the complete fruits of these four Purusharthas. Full dharma, full artha, full kama, full moksha. All your sensory desires will be fulfilled. In most occasions we have, Krishna is Paramatma accurately knowing what this jiva soul actually wants. And he gives him fully. Just like a happy father will throw open his treasury to his son. In fact, he would repeat all the time, my son, this is already yours. This is already yours. You just grow up to the right maturity of age and this is already yours. Even Lord Brahma says the same thing. Tattenu kampam sushamiksha mano bhunjan evatma kritam vipakam rig vag vapubhir vidadham namaste mukti padesa daya bhak. Daya bhak is a rightful heir. What do you mean by rightful heir? What are you supposed to do to get that treasure? The Acharya explained, simply be alive. If you are a millionaire son, what are you supposed to do to become a millionaire? Remain alive. That's all. By the time you are 18, that wealth is rightfully yours. Similarly, we join the Krishna Conscious Movement, what are we supposed to do to become resourceful, to become enriched? Remain alive in Krishna consciousness. That's all. So, Krishna consciousness should not be seen as a get-rich-quick formula. Some people try that, oh, I chanted, but Krishna didn't solve my money problem. Why is that? Could be so many reasons. Your money thing could be your baggage from the previous lifetimes. And this time, that remember that fruit example. If that bitter fruit is your lot, material nature is like a gardener. You and me are like people who are like taking a fancy for some seeds here and there. We like some for the shape, color, whatever. We toss them in our courtyard. And some are growing, some are deep underground, some are saplings, some are become trees. And every day, this gardener brings a whole tray of fruits. Who is supposed to eat them? She says, you. Why? Because this is your courtyard. But I don't like some. Then don't plant those trees. But I don't know which ones give sweet and which ones give bitter fruits. But get some knowledge then. Till the time all our seeds have been completely exhausted, that tray will come every day before us. When we chant, but we may say, somebody may say, okay, I get your point. I have to just be satisfied with whatever I have. But what about the seeds which I am manufacturing now? I have become a devotee,
But now also I am getting these karmic seeds, I am having material desires. The process of chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is like a pan, a big tawa. And every day you have your desires, you just pour them on it. Provided you have chanting fire below that, these seeds are roasted every day. And when roasted seeds are put in the courtyard, be guaranteed, no trees will come out of that. Karmani nirdahati, dahan, that same thing is used here, it will burn away. So, we will end with Krishna going to one place, Mithila. There is a king there, Bahulashva. And normally, you know, king's invitation, just like for temple devotees, some rich person is inviting for prasad. It's okay. We can expect something nice. Or for fundraising, somebody says, okay, you come to my office. So you see, okay, I expect at least 5 zeros, if not 6. So Krishna doesn't have this kind of emotions at all. But the king has invited him. And then there is a very simple fellow, Shrutadev. In fact, so simple, he's almost like poverty stricken, a simple house. And Krishna has come from Dwarka on a big chariot with many sadhus. Shukdev Goswami is there and the usual, you know, galaxy of rishis. Now, which house will he actually go? A person with wealth or somebody with no wealth? Now, mind you, in devotion, both are regarded as the same. So, Krishna is a mystic. Not just mystic, he is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwareshwara is a master of all mystics. Krishna suddenly becomes two. And surprisingly, these sadhus and rishis also don't know, they also become two. So one full set, Krishna, his servants, the rishis, they go to the king's palace. And the king has laid out the full red carpet welcome for them. There is a nice Shehnai band and there is perfume, they're all invited inside, the daintiest of dishes, superbly appointed palace, servants, everything is royal class. Krishna is very happy. Not because of the treatment, because of the devotion. Now, Shukadev Goswami describes the other part. As they go to the simpleton's village, he is on the outskirts of the village. He sees Krishna's chariot coming. He sees the rishis coming. And he's so happy in his typical, simple, rustic way. He just takes off his upper cloth and is waving it. Sometimes people throw it in the air. That's a sign of jubilation. And then he brings the whole party inside. Now it's a small place. He's like looking where to, I mean, what do I do? So he just makes them sit on some simple asanas. He just serves them simple water, but the way he greets them is with pure devotion. And Shukadev Goswami ends the darshan by saying, and here too, the entire retinue is completely satisfied. Now this is an anomaly. You might say, no. The king must have given something extra. At least the dakshina he must have given, the envelopes he must have given then. No! This is the beauty of this. Artha has its limitations depending upon your destiny. If you are a Shrutadev, you will remain a Shrutadev. If you are a Bahulashva, if you are a king, behave like a king, but not with other devotees. So there are, within our own congregation here, we have some kings. They need to have the latest car, they need to have a latest gadget or this or that. That is just like Arjuna's armor, his weaponry. He never showed his weapons to Yudhishthir Maharaj or in front of his brothers. So we will have our functions. Our functions are our dharma. They don't define us. Artha doesn't define you. I wear my artha, but internally I am what my dharma tells me. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, for like the majority of people, it is do some dharma. Like in India, we have seen beggars say, dharm karo. That means from their point of view, giving them charity is your duty. Or eclipse time, they say, give some charity, perform your dharma. Everywhere, all even though it is no longer Vedic culture, this word permeates our vocabulary. A wife is told, do your dharma. A husband is told, do your dharma. So, when I say dharma, dharma, what exactly is this dharma? Your duty. But Krishna consciousness is like the postgraduate study of this Vedic literature. So, here our dharma is, my first duty is, I am part and parcel of Krishna. Serving Krishna is my main dharma. If I do that, whatever artha I get is by Krishna's mercy. Krishna may guarantee millions or he may guarantee tens or twenties. That all depends upon my prarabdha karma, but satisfaction should be 100%. That Krishna is guaranteeing. During the early days, Prabhupada tells his devotees that, especially in India, Prabhupada would talk to Juhu, especially when Juhu temple was set up. You can actually sense the atmosphere. All these big Juhu millionaires sitting in front of Prabhupada, they are accustomed to seeing a sadhu saying, kuch dharam karo, give me some money for this land. And Prabhupada is just the antithesis. I don't need your money. I have my disciples. They sell our books. Not less than 70,000 rupees worth books every day. And these Marwadi businessmen, they are like, so much money. And that too by selling books. Why I am selling iron ore and why I am selling oil and everything? I should have done the same thing. So, no less than 700 rupees. You know how much we spent? We have 4 cars in Los Angeles. We have this big property. The first time I heard this lecture, I was amazed. Never Prabhupada used this kind of language. Oh, but it had an application. The application was, he was trying to remove that pride in the minds of these Indian businessmen. That, hey, I am not coming here to beg. Prabhupada said, we'll make, I guarantee you, we'll make the biggest, most beautiful marble temple here. I request you just come for darshan, take prasad and go back. Imagine how much it must have changed their mindset. That all the sadhus we have seen are, you know, illiterate, semi-literate, having a little bit of hodgepodge ideas and saying, kush to do. And here is a complete game changer. In fact, one person who became a life member and became a disciple later, he said, we need your help. What to speak of you asking us for our help? He said, why? He said, I have never seen somebody going from 40 rupees to 40 crores in such a less time span. So, to conclude, Prabhupada said, when I started this movement, before starting this movement, I was struggling in India. Krishna tested me severely. So, we should expect tests in life because our trial by fire will help burn away all that is not gold. If it happened to Prabhupada, it's surely going to happen to us. Rest assured, Prabhupada said, Krishna tested me by taking away everything. I passed the test. And he says, now Krishna has tested me again by giving me everything. I hope to pass that test too. This whole episode, very beautifully Krishna has shown through the simple story of a jewel, the attachment for Samantak on part of Satrajit, Pasena and later Shatadhanva has brought out that feeling that of insecurity. If you have Krishna, why you need a jewel for getting gold? You don't need anything else. It only ends in misfortune. Vishwanatha Chakravarti makes a comment. If you offend Krishna, things which are meant to protect you will actually destroy you. A very profound statement. We may say that my bank balance will protect me, my reputation will protect me. But if you offend Krishna, those very things will destroy you. So, there is no need for the living entity to be so much engrossed that this artha should occupy your mind all the time. If you take care of your dharma, not only one artha, but all the other three, they can be easily being taken care of. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We'll stop here.